elected members if they ask elected members if they foreshadow any possible conflict of interest. An item on the agenda. No hands going up, so we'll keep going. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting? Moved Councillor Gard, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? That's carried. Sorry, just have to check. Bruce, confirmation of the minutes. What was your vote, please? That's all right, carried unanimously, thank you. And now there's an adjourned item at this early stage of the agenda. Normally we would refer any confidential items to the end of the agenda. So unless there's any objection, we'll do that. Certainly technologically it's much easier, otherwise we'd have to literally finish this meeting and start another one. So if there's no objection, we can deal with the confidential cover report to the South Adelaide Basketball Redevelopment item as to whether that should be dealt with in confidence. Councillor Telfer, you so move. Seconded Councillor Hutchinson. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That's all those against. That is carried unanimously, actually. Thank you. So with your leave, that'll go to the end of the meeting. Well, after questions with notice, specifically. Deputations, petitions, committee recommendations. Would someone like to move confirmation of the public minutes of the Special Review and Selection Committee meeting? Thank you, Councillor Duncan. So moved. Councillor Gard seconded. All those in favour? Oh, that's unanimous. Thank you. Yeah, they're quite innocuous, but we'll get to the confidential element later. So we come up to Marion Cultural Centre Plaza. And I know there was... Well, shall we start with, do any managers want to briefly bring us up to speed? Is there any latest news? Or should we just take questions from members?
All right. Questions, Chris, yeah.
Any factual questions which you need to help resolve the matter? Well, so about that. I did see that Councillor Pryor was asking to be let into the meeting. He's in. Now, questions. Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to see if there's any plan B for down the track, in that DIT was not in favour of traffic lights at Trot Grove.
Yes.
But is there a fallback if that becomes intolerable? As time passes, I would expect the shopping centre to only become busier and probably the whole thoroughfare to be so over the next 10 years.
Councillor Gard, do you mean if the pedestrian activated crossing goes ahead on the western side of the cultural centre?
Yes. Without the traffic light system for vehicles?
Yes. Who'd like to answer that from management?
Mm.
Dr. Grimm or Mr. Lyons?
Are you all right with that?
I can add just a couple of comments to that through the chair. In terms of any additional traffic assessments for Trot Grove and that locality, there hasn't been that investigation as to any contingency plan, I'd suggest. We don't have that validated in terms of long-term movements from that locality.
Okay. Any others? Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First question is, who asked...
Councillor Hull, we cannot hear your audio. Could you put your question through on the chat? And I'm happy to read it out so that it's on the record, or phone it through as you please. Just while Councillor Hull's addressing that, perhaps I could chip in with one as well. There's been a lot of talk about the supposed blocking of entry from the western side of the Marion Cultural Centre into the Westfield car park near Bunnings. But first of all, although it might be part of plans, are we talking about a hard barrier, or are we talking about a boom gate which might allow 3-hour entry, for example?
Through the chair, it's actually a barrier. It won't be any vehicle access at all. So the intention is that there will be some sort of landscape and car parking treatments along that periphery edge.
Other getting back to questions, Councillor Hull, are you ready to put a question, or have you communicated it to someone? You want to have a go with your audio? Currently muted. Councillor Hull, are you proceeding with a question? Can't really see that. So I suppose the other one is a very broad question, that considering the very substantial investment into the project, why is it necessary to make it, in the eyes of staff, necessary to make it a one-way street to achieve the objective of creating a space for community gatherings, markets, etc.?
Through the chair, through the options that were investigated in 2019, there was an appraisal on the amount of vehicle movements that occur through the precinct, and then a validation in terms of the project objectives as to the enhancement of the public realm in terms of pedestrian movements and activity, that it would be a safest place to try and reduce the traffic flow between the SALC and the Marion Cultural Centre. And then through that assessment, the one-way movement seemed a good balance in terms of enabling and egress and access, whilst also enhancing that public amenity.
Now, I'll give another chance to elected members if they have factual questions to put. Councillor Hull, I am looking at you. I know you might have had an intention, but at the moment I'm not getting anything from you. Councillor Telfer? Councillor Telfer.
My question is, in the event of the discussion about the pedestrian activated crossing and it's unfavourable, is there a commitment to keeping the crossover in the middle of the median for pedestrians to get across?
Through the chair, that would be the intent, would be to definitely retain the refuge if the PAC was not to proceed.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Would someone like to move a motion then, please? Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I'm going to move as printed with option two to remove the PAC.
Option two. Looking for a seconder. Councillor Crossland. Councillor Pryor, did you wish to speak further?
Look, I think this has probably been done to death, this area. I don't think the proposal is going to get any further down the road unless we want to make significant changes to it. So I think it's time to give it a lash and see whether the proposal actually gets up. The reason I am not keen on the pedestrian activated crossings, I really think it will mess traffic up on Dugan Road. I think we'll be dealing with that for a long time. So I'm very, it's a tough decision, this one, but I think I'm going to go with the no PAC option.
Councillor Crossland, you wish to speak? Anyone speaking against? Councillor Gard?
I'm not sure we've got a seconder yet.
Councillor Crossland was the seconder.
Oh, sorry.
Councillor Gard in opposition?
I have my doubts about Councillor Pryor's doubts. I feel that with proper coordination, a PAC could work. But I think the worst thing we could do would be to abandon it with no other plan. Because if anyone in the chamber, the would-be chamber, has experienced crossing the lights at Diagonal Road, Morfitt Road corner, as I have many times, so I sometimes get the train to the Aquatic Centre from Marino, it is laborious. People don't obey the cycles because it is a long way between beginning and end. Children cross against red lights. It is a nightmare. So I think we need to have a solution of a kind that replaces that set of lights. At the moment, it's hard to see any alternative to a PAC. I would have been in favour of an overall traffic light system there, but in their wisdom, did have discounted that. But surely we have to have a solution to dramatically increase the safety for people if we're trying to cultivate public transport use, and we know that the Westfield Marion is aimed to become busier. That is the goal of its expansion, no doubt. So, you know, we can't just turn our backs on and say, look, nothing at all.
Any other speakers in favour? Mm-hmm. Councillor Telfer?
I'd like to move an amendment with all of the motion as is, but with what you'd call 3A, the pedestrian actuated crossing. And I'd like to speak to that either now or if there's a seconder.
Well, now I have to decide whether it's better to allow an amendment or allow you to move 3A as printed if this motion fails. In other words, it would become something of a test on the PAC. Ms. McKenzie, any advice?
My advice is that I would let the current motion be voted on first, and then if that one fails, take it as a second, as they may be considered different motions.
I hope you understand, Councillor Telfer, if you disagree and think that there should be a PAC, then vote against this motion, and I'll come back to you to move a subsequent motion to give an alternative. I was after any others in speaking in favour of the motion at hand. Councillor Hull. Can I ask staff, is there some mechanism whereby Councillor Hull can phone someone and let us know his views, just somehow get it on the record?
So I believe what he's trying to say is that he did forward an email today with a motion. Is that correct, Councillor Hull?
Yes.
Yeah.
So...
And I'm assuming he wants to move that as an amendment, I'm guessing.
Is it suitable? Are you able to share screen with that, Ms. McKenzie?
Ms. Meritz, do you have that?
And also the important question of whether it is, again, something that ought to be a separate motion, or whether it is actually suitable for the motion as moved. Ms. McKenzie, your view?
If I can just get Tori to share a screen and then I can just compare the wording.
Okay.
So I believe the additional part of what Councillor Hull has added in is that council expedite formal discussions with Dit and Sarah Andrews. So it's that sentence there.
Right.
So
I suppose that is a potential addition. Mm-hmm. It's basically encouraging council to do something which is the subject of Dit advice that it will never do. Is that your understanding, Ms. McKenzie?
That's my understanding, yes.
Yeah, okay. But it's not out of order.
I don't believe so.
So that is a legitimate amendment. Councillor Hull, once again, I'll try and give you the opportunity to speak in favour of that. Otherwise, we'll just look for a seconder. So, Councillor Hull, no, that's not going to be possible, but I will accept the motion as moved. Sorry, the amendment to the motion as moved. So, is there a seconder to that amendment? That is to contact Dit and the local State Member of Parliament regarding a Trot Grove traffic light intersection. So that's seconded, Councillor Gard. The process is to vote on the amendment. Sorry, Councillor Gard has already spoken. I can only go to people who have not yet participated in the debate. Councillor Telfer, I suppose you didn't really get a chance to speak because you wanted to move an amendment which was out of order, so I'll accept your seconding of this amendment. The process is, would you like to speak to that amendment?
Yes.
And also you may speak, of course, to the motion that's already been moved as well.
Yes, I believe that it is valuable to have a pedestrian activated crossing and that we should politically meet whoever we need to get the route from the train line to Marion, the library and all the other services so that it is safe for pedestrians. It's on that walkway. It's also the crossing walkway for the Chrysler path. So there are two directions from which that pedestrian actuated crossing is important.
So Councillor Telfer, I have to take a point of relevance there because the amendment, as I understand it, is nothing to do with the pedestrian actuated crossing. The amendment keeps in place no PAC, like the motion. The amendment is to say, let's lobby Department of Transport for the Trot Park signalised intersection, which we received advice about earlier in the meeting. Ms. McKenzie, have I got that right?
Correct.
Okay. So I hope...
Can you hear me?
Yes, Councillor Hull, just in time. It's a little bit out of order, but I do want to give you the opportunity to speak to the amendment, so go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, excuse me, I'm not sure what the motion is. I've been talking to staff on the phone and distracted by my technical problems. So,
Councillor Hull, let me fill you in. The motion was option two, which is to proceed but without a pedestrian actuated crossing.
Right.
As I've explained your motion, I think this is right, that you are also taking that approach, but you want us, in a summary, to lobby Dit and the local MP in relation to a signalised intersection at the corner of Trot Grove. Now, what you may not have heard at the commencement of this debate was Dr. Grimm advising that Department of Transport had ruled that out. So whether or not that makes a difference to you, your amendment's in order. You get a chance to speak to it now. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure whether the Department of Transport is familiar with the issues of the residents in Oaklands Park who seem to be entrapped within their community. They're unable to get out and across Diagonal Road. That is the main part of our thinking. That came through, Mr. Mayor, in the public consultation. You might remember there was opposition because they're struggling to cross and they wanted to use the pathway across in front of the cultural centre to Morfitt Road as a means of turning right. Now, if we don't address that, we've still got that problem. We've still got people that on the other side that will take umbrage to this proposal because they can't get out of the eastern side of Diagonal Road. And I don't know whether DIT, like the transport advisor, the traffic engineer, are aware of the political ramifications that we're aware of. So that's a question in itself. But look, at the end of the day, Nathan Pryor and myself are looking forward to having a meeting with the new member for Gibson and talk this through with her. We've only had dealings at an officer level. We've never made representation to Corey Wingard that I'm aware of. And this needs to be explored. Like there's multiple ways that councils can get outcomes. One way is dealing with council officer to state government officer. That can work, but sometimes you need both. And I'd just like to see everybody have a discussion and be on the same page about this. So that's my motivation. I don't think I got a seconder for my suggestion anyway.
You did get a seconder. So right. We'll proceed in a moment. Councillor Telfer seconded.
Yeah, but that's my rationale. We've got new state government officers. As you know, when a new government comes in at the top of those departments, there's a bit of a clean out and new blood. So we've got a new canvas to actually work with.
A point of order from Councillor Gard.
If you're referring to Councillor Hull's motion, Your Worship, I was the seconder to that.
No, Councillor Gard, I could not go to you. You sought to second it, but you had previously spoken in the debate.
Oh, I see.
Therefore, it would have been out of order for you to second. That's why I went to Councillor Telfer.
I thought
there's no point of order.
Okay.
No problem. Look, you might have had your 2 minutes, Councillor Hull, but yes, just finish off, please.
Yeah, I just want to finish off by advising you my technical problems continue. Whilst Zoom's working fine, I've got no access to my agenda now. So I just thought I'd make you aware of that. So,
all right. Thanks for that. And I hope you'll work with staff in between meetings to try and improve things on that front. All right. Now, because you've raised the question of changing guards at DIT and so on, I think it only fair to go back to Dr. Grimm to ask what is the how definite and how recent is the information you have from Department of Transport about the Trop Grove traffic light solution?
Through the chair, the advice was prior to the election. However, it's based on the technical requirements and guidelines of the traffic assessments for arterial roads. So it's validated through those guidelines.
All right. We must now go to vote on the amendment. Those in favour of the lobbying put forward by Councillor Hull, raise your hand. Those against, raise your hand. The amendment is carried. We'll incorporate that amendment into the motion moved by Councillor Pryor. Anyone who hasn't spoken on either side of the debate, you may do so. If not, then it's for Councillor Pryor to close the debate.
Yeah, it's a healthy debate on this one. I think there's a number of different ways we can proceed. The reason that I don't like a PAC, and I think the traffic implications are pretty obvious there. The other thing about it, the people raised the fact that we need somewhere for people to cross the road. That's fine. Look, there's a pedestrian activated crossing 30 metres down the road at this the entrance to Marion, and there's one 100 metres the other way at the corner of Diagonal Road and Morphett Road. So I don't think it prohibits people from crossing the road safely if we don't put a PAC there. I do, however, think that it will mess the traffic up quite significantly if we do put a pedestrian activated crossing there.
All right. If I could ask for those voting in favour, put up your hand, please. Just keep it there for a sec. Those against. That is carried by a majority. Thank you. So I think that that resolves that issue completely, doesn't it? We can move on to revitalisation of Edwardstown, our next action plan, a bit of budget trimming. We've already made kicked a lot of goals there, but still some ongoing work to do. So who would like to, would someone like to move a motion? Councillor Masika, thank you. Anything to seconded Councillor Mason? I'll come back to you. Councillor Masika, did you have anything to say?
Thanks, Your Worship. I'd like to say a few words by bringing up a statistic which will indicate that the Edwardstown Employment Precinct is the economic engine room of the city of Marion economy. And it hosts over nearly 5,000 jobs, over 2,000 businesses, and it provides a very vital, substantial contribution to our state economy. The growth and modernization of the Edwardstown employment precinct is necessary. Now, the Edwardstown is the best place for advanced manufacturing, and it will provide great access to jobs, goods, and services. I'm moving this motion to ensure that the Edwardstown employment precinct is a strong, sustainable employment precinct now and for future. And the motion which has been put forward will help us to achieve this. And that's why I'm moving. Thanks, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Nothing to add. Any opposition? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Anyone against? No, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Page 104, Open Space Plan Additional Funding. How are we going to do this? Someone like to move a motion? Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, I have a question to start. Yeah. This is... To me, this is probably the first in a number of these style of things coming out of council. So I guess I'm seeking some assurance from the staff that the costing that we have going forwards is going to be, we're not going to come with our cap in hand every year and say, oh, look, the costs have gone up 10% again, So I guess I'm looking for some sort of assurance like that.
Sure. And noting as we go to staff that the proposition put to us of increased costs also represents increased service levels as well. So who'd like to answer?
Can I kick off, please?
Please.
And through the chair, definitely, Councillor Pryor, we don't intend to come back in a year or two. This is our best guess. And as the Mayor has just pointed out, it's not just to cover the cost increases that everywhere has experienced over the last couple of years, but also some additional areas of fencing and car parking that got omitted from our initial strategy. So I'd certainly like to ensure that we'll give you the confidence that these numbers, these costs are accurate and will be there for the long term.
So basically, if we want to include car parking and fencing additions where warranted to our reserve upgrades, do we find the money by tipping in another million or by spreading it all out over a slightly extended time frame? That's the question. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move the recommendation with option B, which is moving it out 1 year to meet that additional cost.
Yes, would you like to speak to that?
Just very briefly, look, I've spoken to staff about the additional cost, and in addition to the comments made by Mr. Lyons, I'm confident that the extra money is required. One of the things that'll be fixed up here, a lot of those chain and post fences, which we've heard about, I believe, from Councillor Hull and from other councillors, they weren't in the previous budget for either removal or repair. And I think it's something that we're going to have to deal with. So this is the cost, as well as all the other little fix-me-ups. I think it's appropriate.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. Anything to add?
Yeah, just I'm happy with the strategy that Councillor Prosson's proposed.
Anyone against or question? Councillor Hull?
Just a quick question, Mr. Mayor. Given the flurry of election promises, Warridale is destined to get nearly $1 million. Two of those are council reserves, Ballara Park and Hamilton Park. I'm just wondering how much savings we're actually making as part of our program as a consequence of that, and how are those funds redistributed, or are they just those savings just absorbed back into the general budget?
That's reference to state election promises, yes. Obviously, we can't take account of the federal ones yet. But who would like to answer that, Mr. Lyons?
It's a very good question through the chair, and it also affects, from the state and the federal perspective, some of the timing and the staging of when these things need to happen. So if there are changes in the staging and also the budgets, we would need to come back with an updated report, probably soon after the federal, to advise council of how we recommend we change the staging, and if there are surplus monies, how they be treated. And that will be for council to make a decision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Can't see any opposition. I'll just put the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So that sorts out the open space plan for now, and we'll see what comes out of the federal election. There's just that inevitable fluidity with a lot of things at the moment. On to page 109, crossover funding initiative. Members would remember we added a little deal to our streetscaping initiative, where we said we'd go 50% with owners if they wanted the crossover done at the same time as we were coming through. We had two people, I think it is, unless that's updated, say yes to that. So if we make that available on a more or less unlimited basis, it's not likely that we're going to be flooded. I think that's the tenor of the report. So what would you like to do, Councillor Hutchinson?
Thank you, Worship. Look, I'm happy to support and move the motion, but I do have a question for staff, and that is in relation to the cost. And that indicates to us that $1,400 is 50% of the cost of a crossover. From understanding the private market, that's rather expensive cost. And I want to know from staff whether there is scope to look to reduce the cost to make it more accessible for our ratepayers.
Mr. Troop, is it?
Thank you. And through the chair, those costs were provided to us by our contractor, so they were competitively tendered. And I think that the benefit of this approach is that the resident doesn't have to pay the on cost, so the establishment fees that they normally would. So they're just paying for their portion of the actual unit rate for the concrete driveway itself. So I can confirm that the unit rate that we did apply for the square meter rate for the driveway to arrive at those numbers was a fair and equitable rate in terms of what we would expect to see from the current market.
All right. Been moved. Seconded, Councillor Hull.
Go ahead, Councillor Hull. Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to second it, but I have a question.
Go ahead.
The spirit of this motion was designed to actually improve our streetscaping, where if we went through and put new footpaths through, that we wouldn't have a situation where some people would have a gravel driveway, sometimes no driveway at all, just potholes either side of our footpath, sometimes bitumen. It was pretty unsightly and inconsistent. I'm just wondering whether this policy, given that this was the spirit of why this motion was moved, because I think I moved it, have we actually succeeded in improving our streetscapes as part of this?
Sounds like we have twice. Mr. Troop, what do you say?
I think we would, although it was only taken up by two, we would have ordinarily left those behind, and so they would have been in the condition that they were. So just by doing, through this initiative, we have improved the amenity and the accessibility of those two driveways. So,
yeah, so two right across the city. So if we were to increase the margin to council funding 75%, would that actually go closer to actually meeting the budget that you have available and improving the take-up rate?
I mean, when we look at, there was 48 offers put out. So again, it's only the 15 of that. There was eight roads that actually had driveways. And so of the 48, we constructed four. So we committed, there were certain criteria that we committed to construct a driveway to assure the quality of the output. And so that considered whether there was no material, if there was no driveway, or if the levels were such that it wouldn't meet a Disabilities Discrimination Act criteria. So I just think by virtue of that the two remaining were just ones that people chose to take up on the offer. So I'm not sure, again, another 25% on top of that, it's a negligible cost, to be fair, and it may or may not increase the uptake.
Mr. Mayor, could I test the water?
Probably more of a political question as much as anything, but now, well, were you seconding the motion or you wanted to do something else?
Well, with the approval of the mover, if we actually change the motion to read continues, well, actually it doesn't continue, it actually funds 75% of the crossover replacements and see whether the take-up rate does improve as a consequence.
Councillor Hutchinson?
Yeah, I'll do it. That's a good move.
So the mover accepts the wording changes two numbers in paragraph 1A. Instead of delete the word continues, and it should say funds 50%. And then on the third line, funds 75% of the crossover replacement cost. And then in the third line, the landowner's paying the other 25%. All right, we've got that. That's the motion. Councillor Hull seconded.
You've already spoken to it,
I think.
Well, I just want to clarify the motion. So 75% should be mentioned twice, and then in B, that remains at 100%. Is that correct?
No, it's not correct. Council funds 75%. The landowner's paying the other 25%, and then a council number B remains as it is.
Right, and that means that the landholder pays that 100% because it's deemed a replacement is required as part of the construction program.
Mr. Troop, is that how it's been working?
No, this part B covers those, so the 100 will contribute 100%. Part A is correct, so the council will pay 50% and the subject to the landowners paying the other 25% prior to works commencing. So the landowner will be required under the amendment to pay 25% prior to works commencing.
The actual wording of the whole motion could benefit from a little bit of restructuring, because the word council should probably appear at the front of A, B, and C to assist with clarity. So
that wouldn't hurt.
So if A starts off council funds 75%, etc., and later on there's a change 50 to 25%. B, council funds 100% of certain driveway crossover replacements. C, council notes that the funding will be managed, etc. So Move is happy with that. Councillor Hull's happy with that. I'll see if there's any opposition. Any speakers against? Then I will simply put it to the vote. All those in favour? No one against? That's carried unanimously, thank you. So we'll go to the community bus, page 113. Start off with questions, thanks. There's any factual questions? All right, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move as printed with option two.
Well, just before you do, there's no problem with that, but I was asking if there were any questions, so I just want to check with members. There may be none, that's fine. I know I had one, and I think it is important to get these facts straight before we get into the motion. I will come back to you, Councillor Crossland. The primary question I had was in relation to the delivery of meals, and I could understand when COVID shut neighbourhood centres, when people were coming in for free or cheap meals on a Friday lunch or whatever, that couldn't happen. So we became part of a scheme to deliver meals. But my question to Ms. Fife during the week was, well, isn't that the core business of Meals on Wheels? And are we replicating another service unnecessarily? So Ms. Fife, would you like to answer that, or Mr. Lyons?
I'm happy to take that question. Thank you, Mayor, through you. The service at the moment for those styles of services into our community are at capacity. So the team has been working with a range of local service providers to pick that up with the intent that they could do so. However, they are at capacity and turning those services down. So while our provision was there to provide those meals, we have continued to occupy that space. We are basically at capacity of that service now, though, despite it increasing over the last 2 years.
Okay, Councillor Hull, question?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. In terms of the meals, is it not so that this is a federal government grant? And if that is the case, when does that expire?
Through you, Chair. The meal program at the moment is under review and it's about to be signed over for a further 12 months, is my understanding. Ms. Waits is online and may be able to confirm that for me. And then review of the reform of the aged care services are due in the middle of next year.
Right. So, any other questions?
So essentially, the cost to council is for the third bus is obviously the diesel. There's no staff cost because we're using volunteers, great volunteers. Is that correct?
Thank you. I might pass one straight through to Ms. Waits, who's online, and she'll be able to answer directly around the staffing component.
That's
right. So it's the hiring of the third bus is paid for by council as well. And we do have staff that coordinate the meal delivery schedule and things like that. That is covered obviously with the grant, and then we also have the social trips and the shopping trips as well.
And a final question, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, thank you.
The hiring of the bus, it's from DES, I understand, $35,000 a year. It's been hired by the Marion Council now for a number of years. If you do the sums, you only need, for a bus that size, a 12-seater Toyota bus, it's not a Mercedes. If you do the sums, after 2 or 3 years of hiring it, we could have bought one. We could have actually had one and have it as an asset. Would that be a reasonable assessment of, of that third bus? And it may be one of the efficiencies Mr. Harrison's looking for.
Mr. Harrison to respond.
Thank you, through the chair. Just a bit more detail. Through Matt Allen and the representatives here tonight, we've done a deeper, more comprehensive assessment on really the true need of having a third bus capacity currently through the COVID situation, but trying to do some modelling over the next 1 to 2 years. And the bottom line is that the third bus is not largely getting used. It's getting used to a very, very small percentage. And we are of the view that we can adequately maintain services in accordance with grant provisions by only having two buses in operation. Our suggestion would be that we should maintain a two bus fleet for the foreseeable future, and post COVID, whenever that may be, 1 to 2 years down the track, and we start to have people reaching out for services more than they are at the moment, we would revisit the situation, see whether a two bus model is the right model for us, or we need to look at something different. But certainly this paper comes before council tonight based on a strong evidence-based position that we only need two buses, and we can make a real saving to council of upwards of $30,000, $35,000, and we would certainly reassess the need sometime in the future.
Now, I think there was one or two more questions. Councillor Gard, did you have one? No. Councillor Duncan? Yes, Councillor Duncan.
My question is then, if you take away the third bus, I'm just talking about the meals. I know when I was doing it, all the three buses were used and they were quite busy, the whole three of them. So how are you going to cope? What are you going to do with the third bus? It means that you're overloading the other two with all the extra meals that the bus three actually takes. So how are you going to manage that?
What's the plan there? If we have just two buses, Ms. Farr?
Thank you, through you, Chair. Great question. It would be a matter of reworking that program to determine if we can continue to deliver that at the level that we can do at the moment. Sorry, that we are doing that. We would come back in that option with a report next month to council outlining those details of what that would look like moving forward from 1st of July. So that would include costs of another vehicle if we were to maintain service level or options appropriate that would include the decrease of that meal provision service. And also noting that would cancel the social trip options as well. So we would manage all of that in a report next month.
A question flows on from that. I did note in the details that a lot of the volunteers are roughly driving from 9 to 2 or something like that. And I was querying the scope for, not in every case, but in some cases like shopping trips, etc., or even social trips to on a shorter distance to Glenelg or the city, dividing it into two shifts, like a 9 to 1 and a 1 to 5 or something like that. Is that feasible or not, Ms. Fife?
For the larger trips, sorry, through you, Mayor, would be more challenging. They are a longer day trip. The shorter ones, the team has, through Ms. Salas and her team, been looking at shorter investigations of social trips in particular, and they were looking at that prior to COVID impacting, and that was because the demand was there as well. So the option is there to consider those options should volunteers be available and be recruited, and then the team can look to facilitate a variety of programs.
Right, thank you. Okay, I think it's back to you, Councillor Crossland, to move your motion and speak to it if you wish. I just need to unmute. Thanks.
Sorry, I think a lot of the points have already been covered. When I initially got the funding for the third community bus, the intention was to use it to increase usage in our community centres and particularly to try and get Trott Park used because it was difficult for residents to get there. Unfortunately, before it really got going, we got hit with COVID, and I'm pleased that the buses were repurposed rather than sat idle. But looking at the numbers at the moment, we've got lower figures than we had before to justify the third bus. And also we seem to be going outside what the community buses were originally intended. And I was also surprised that we're doing longer and longer trips outside of council. So at this stage, I believe we've come to the natural end until we evaluate services in the future.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Masika, thank you. Anything to add, Councillor Masika?
I want to say, look, I second this motion because of the information which has been presented by the CEO, Mr. Harrison, and also the administration staff, that the numbers are low, there's a low usage. So it's good if we continue to maintain up the two buses and then reevaluate the whole program and then come back with the realistic figures and see which way we went forward. So for the time being, I'm quite happy to move to second option.
Any speakers against? Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm glad to hear from Councillor Duncan. We both at one point worked as volunteers on the buses and I actually went to the coalface. I'm a believer in the multi-faceted trips they do, both meals, shopping trips, taking people on fishing expeditions, day trips, which could include going over to Maylands like I did once, and gives these people an opportunity to have some social inclusion. It gives them an ability to socialise and get out of their homes. And with COVID, that's been an added stressor or an added challenge to these older people. Simply going shopping is a great opportunity for them to go and stock up and to be able to sustain themselves at home if they're not inclined to get meals. Now, the meals, as I said, are funded by the federal government. They're all prepared in at the convention centre on North Terrace. Very high quality meals, I must say. And I often heard comments that they were better meals than what the Meals on Wheels provide. I knew that the community appreciated the service. There's no doubt about that. And the other thing is, if we take a bus away, what do we do then with the volunteers that have actually given up their time, done a lot of training, I might say, to actually get to the point where they're eligible to be volunteers? Lots of police checks and health checks, and all sorts of checks to be, you know, you wouldn't believe it, the amount of scrutiny that these bus drivers get. Now, take a bus away and they've got no tool to use. And that worries me as well. And I shan't be supporting the motion.
Just before I go to the next speaker, there's a factual question raised there, Ms. Fife. If we went down to two buses, would we be turning volunteers away?
Chair, at pre-COVID levels, there was a much higher number of volunteers, so that could be accurate if those numbers return beyond, because the buses were using that in the original period.
All right, not at present, but maybe in the future. Now, anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Valescu?
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. I just have a question.
All right.
Can we deliver the meals without using a bus? Because a bus is for people and a vehicle could do the meals. So could we actually use something else to deliver the meals?
And then, you mean like a delivery van?
Something like that. And it would make sense then we've got more capacity to deliver people to various locations with the buses. So there may be a less of a reduction. I just wanted to know if that's possible.
Ms. Fife?
Through the chair, that is absolutely a possibility, and it is outlined in option two in the paper that we would investigate those options of vehicle types and costs, their delivery ability regarding licenses, storage, cooling capacity, either refrigerated or not, to work through what the best option for that program is moving forward should the third community bus cease.
Thank you. Any other speakers in favour of the motion? If not, goes back to Councillor Crossland to close the debate, please.
I'll just put the vote. Thank you, Your Worship.
I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand, please. Just keep it there for a sec. All those against, please raise your hand. That is carried by majority. Thank you.
Division, please, Mr. Mayor.
Division is called by Councillor Hull. So once again, those in favour, please raise your hand. Just keep it up until I've called all of the names. Councillors Crossland, Gard, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Masika, Clancy, and Mason. You may put your hands down. Hands up, those against. Councillors Duncan, Lescu, and Hull. So the motion's carried by majority. Thank you. On to the draft annual business plan. I suspect most might be most fruitful to suspend standing orders if you wish. Moved, Councillor Pryor, to suspend standing orders. Is that seconded, Councillor Crossland? Thank you. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Yes, that's carried by unanimously. So I thought it would be useful then to just try and take this apart so that we have as few motions coming through as possible as we put this draft budget out for consultation. If you look on page 126 to the printed recommendation, if we leave aside the rating option, that's usually the one that excites people the most, can I assume that people are happy with paragraphs 3, 4, and 5 in particular as to changes to the structure of the reserves? If anyone isn't or has questions, then this would be a good time to raise it. Councillor Hull?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, as you might remember, I did question the $2 million fund that Mr. Botha actually encouraged the council to do some years ago. I think that Mr. Botha's advice is still as credible today as it was back then. And we also talked about actually using $2 million fund as a buffer to actually use it in essence for the purposes it's designed for.
Well, the question, I mean, reserves are meant to be for a particular purpose usually. The call it a disaster fund or something has been discussed. You have been provided with information about it. Mr. Barnwell, can you put it on the record, the alternative available to us in terms of local government finance facilities in case there was, you know, a truck went through the wall or something?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we have, the council has at its disposal a facility of $11 million, which is a CAD facility, which is essentially effectively an overdraft for council, an interest-only facility. So if we did need to access funds in for that kind of emergency, we would have accessed those funds quite overnight effectively. So I suppose that takes away that risk around the $2 million. I suppose maybe back earlier on when we had high interest rates, it might have made sense to have that money on hold and you were still earning sort of 3, 4, 5% on it. But at the moment, we're earning what, 0.44, 0.45% on that money, just sitting there doing nothing. I think it's probably wiser to put that money to good use. You could have, you know, so effectively, I think we can access those funds immediately if we needed to for an emergency through the CAD facility.
Mr. Mayor, we're going over old ground. I remember Mr. Barnwell telling us that, and I take that on board. But we actually went on to actually realise that we might have shortfalls down the track, particularly with cost rises, and that $2 million fund would not be out of place to help us out to actually meet any shortcomings in projects that we're doing.
Sorry, Councillor Hull, that $2 million that's been sitting there for I don't know how many decades was never available, never would be available for the sorts of purposes that you're talking about, to cater for cost overruns, etc. The Asset and Sustainability Fund, in some cases the Open Space Fund, might be available for those things. Other elements of reserves, but that was always a quarantined section anyway. So the fact that costs of construction are going to go up is really a separate argument But you keep going. You make your point if you want.
Oh well, I'm just saying that you're right that it's always been quarantined and just sitting there. What I'm saying is that we can actually use that $2 million of funds sitting there as a backup for any shortcomings in projects and actually start putting it to good use as need arises, which is not inconsistent with what Mr. Botha suggested.
Well, do you want to test that? I mean, I think with that one, we can just do a quick show of hands. How many are in favour of keeping that $2 million quarantined instead of using the local government emergency loan facility? So we've got another one there, got a few. And the majority, you're willing to go with the motion as printed, are you? Give me a few nods, a few hands up. So what I might do then, when we get to the formal motion, which is not yet, I might come back to you, Councillor Hull, if you want to move an amendment, and you can try an amendment to take out that particular paragraph, all right? Because if you take out that paragraph, then the consequence will be that Mr. Barnwell will leave that money where it is, in the bank, in 0.4%. I think that's the best way to handle it. Now, in terms of paragraph 3, 4, and 5, any other questions or issues in relation to the structure of the reserves? Because if not, then we can zip into the exciting part, talking about rates. If someone could just help me go to the page number, here we are. It's 127 going on to 128. So you can see them there. Perhaps if you could, Mr. Barnwell, do you want to just speak very briefly to each one, the implications of options 1, 2, or 3?
Sure. I guess all options 1, 2, and 3 are sustainable going forward. I suppose what the difference between the three options, the 2%, 1.8 and 2.2, is that, you know, with the 1.8%, we're probably least amount of cover for any contingencies. I suppose operating in this current environment, that's probably leaving us with a bit of risk. The 2% model is steady all the way across, which we do like to have steady rate increases rather than having increases that jump up and down. I suppose that's one priority there. And the 2.2 probably gives us that the most amount of cover in the event of contingencies. We do, as we're aware, we do have some key project funding, which we're about to fund in this upcoming budget. As we know, if we go to market with some of these projects, we will have a shortfall in funding based on the outcomes, depending on the current market conditions. So I suppose they're the kind of factors to weigh in the balance here as council consider the options. That's probably the nuts and bolts of those three options.
Okay. So of those three, just a reminder, because I'm going to ask for a straw poll sort of indication here, just to see where we're at as a group. Option 1, 2% across the budget. Option 2's 1.8 up to 2.2 next year, following year, and then falling back to 2% the remainder, and then 2.2% steady increase. 2.2 in the next 2 years, followed by 2% over the remaining 8 years. So three slight variations. We're getting pretty close in all three options, really. But I will just ask first, is anyone seriously putting forward an option other than those three options after all the discussions we've had? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, first of all, I'd like to point out that we can only deal with this year.
Can you just give us we're not dealing with this year. We're dealing with the 10-year budget. That's our responsibility. What is your proposal, Councillor Hull?
I'd like to point out that the incoming council in November
that's a matter for debate. I'll come back to it. My question was, do you have an alternative series of rate rises?
I'm happy with 1.8 for this year, maybe just as a notional figure, have 1.8, 1.8, 1.8 going forward. And it really is a matter for the next group of councillors to actually decide about next year and the year after.
So, Ms. Barnwell, if it was 1.8 across the 10 years, tell us the implications of that. We still meet our budget policy over the 10 years?
No, based on if it was 1.8 across the 10 years, it wouldn't make it financially sustainable in the long term.
Well, Mr. Mayor, we can reassess that next year. We don't know what's going to happen next year. The world could be at war next year.
That would put council in deficit for every year of the long-term financial plan, up to $6 million of deficit over the 10 years.
All right. This is not the point for a massive debate, but if Councillor Ho wants to put that option on the table, that's legitimate. If there aren't any others, that leaves us with four. Just trying to get my hands there. Four options. We'll call Councillor Hull's option four. So you've got 2% across the 10 years. That's option one. You've got 1.8 followed by 2.2 followed by 2% across the remaining years. That's option two. You've got 2.2 followed by 2.2 for 2 years, followed by 2%, and then you've got 1.8% across the 4 years. So I'm just going to ask for a show of hands. It is non-committal at this point. Who is in favour of option one? Who is in favour of option two? Who is in favour of option three? Who's in favour of option four? All right, well, I'm getting more support for the option one. That doesn't mean everyone has to agree with it, but it does suggest that that's the one we should test in the motion. So when we get back to resuming standing orders, that's the motion that we'll test first, and we'll see if there's support. If not, then we'll look around for something else.
Excuse me, you have a
question, Councillor
Blaskett? Yeah, I was just wondering how many people sort of voted for an option under 2% and how many people voted for an option two or over?
Well, the numbers went in descending order of popularity by very narrow margins. So the most popular was option one, the second most popular was option two.
Yeah,
and to be honest... There's not much between them.
So there'd be more people that voted for 2% or more.
I'm not going to get into semantic debates at this point. We put up four options. One got more votes in a straw poll than the others. The only purpose of this is to work out which motion should be tested. And if most people disagree with it, we will go to another option. All right.
Thanks, Your Worship.
Everyone has still preserved all their rights to disagree and debate. Councillor Gard?
Your Worship, I just wanted to ask the question, excuse me, if everyone is aware of the prevailing option that if we do find that we need more funds for a particular project in the progress of time, let's say at year five, our borrowings level is heading downward by then. And if it stands up to the intergenerational equity test, then it's a real option to be able to borrow and defer the payment of the actual capital outlay for years to come. So that is another piece of mechanics available to the whole system. And I don't think it's one that we've actually dealt with in very great depth this year, but it is there. And at a time like this, It seems foolish to go higher rate increase when that option is on the table from year to year.
We have borrowing capacity. It's a question we have discussed informally, but Mr. Barnwell, if you could put it on the record now, what happens in that scenario? If we want to bump up expenditure on a particular project and we want to borrow money, how does that interplay with this rate rise?
Yeah, we certainly have capacity, and as as Councillor Garr rightly pointed out, that our borrowings will be diminishing over the future years. Obviously, we need to have capacity to repay those borrowings as well. So you've got to factor in both sides of the equation. Yes, we can borrow, but we also need to factor in that we have the ability to service those borrowings as well.
Agreed.
Councillor Crossland, a question or something to clarify?
Yes. Question. Look, I agree with Councillor Gard's point, but if we do make those borrowings, and I'm thinking we're likely to borrow this year or next year, if we borrow 5 million, the interest rate, that currently isn't factored into any of those plans, is that correct?
Yeah, if we borrowed another $5 million, for instance, that would cost us another $600,000 a year.
Yeah. So if we do that, which one of those options pays the interest on that $5 million?
So there is borrowings factored in the long-term plan, but if you were to borrow an additional $5 million on top of what's already in there, that's going to cost an extra $600,000 to service. So what would happen is if you happen to borrow it at the end in 22-23, likely to borrow probably towards the end of the year, and the repayments would have to be factored into the long-term plan going forward from there.
All right. Let us, who would like to move a motion then? I resume standing orders. Who would like to move a motion where it says, if you look at the printed recommendation, paragraph 6, option X, if we put in there option 1 and then in brackets 2% average rate increase for each year of the 10-year financial plan. Is that adequate wording, Mr. Barnwell?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
All right. Ms. Moritz, you got something like that? Ms. Moritz, you happy?
Just confirming. Option 1, 2% average rate increase for each year of the
10-year financial plan.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you. Now, Councillor Telf, is that a clarification, point of order?
I'm happy to
move the
recommendation, yes.
Lovely. Thank
with
you.
With the option 1, which is the 2%.
Yes.
I think that this is orderly. We have discussed the other aspects. The market is very complex at the moment, and we don't have a lot of spare cash to go lower. We don't want to go higher at this point, and there are other factors that I think in the next year will keep the market down, even though there could be some inflationary push, maybe slower happening than we imagine.
Thank you. Is the motion seconded? Councillor Crossland, do you wish to speak?
Look, I agree with Councillor Telfer's observations. I think we're going to be under a lot of pressure to keep that too. I would have initially been interested in closer to 2.4, but I believe we can make savings. And if that's an option, we should go down that track first rather than just putting up the rate rather than look at those options.
Thank you. Now I'm looking for speakers against. Councillor Vlescu.
I've got a question. What savings options have been suggested by elected members to date?
I have to say, Councillor, given that we've set aside a specific time at an informal briefing in May for that, and Mr. Harrison wants to take all of the ideas and apply some analysis to them, and given that only today we received a formal request for us to submit our ideas, I think that might be premature. But can we hear from Mr. Harrison on that?
Thank you, through the chair. So the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Barnwell, myself and Sarana Dinmore have discussed a strategy and a process to go through over the next 6 weeks to elicit all of the suggestions, ideas. Secondly, we'll go through a line-by-line analysis of the budget on a portfolio-by-portfolio basis. On the 5th of May, we will workshop with each of the SLT 11 portfolio owners together with general managers to drill down what's feasible, practical and doable as a menu of choices of either eliminating waste, reducing expenses or potentially stopping services. And then we will bring that to the elected member forum for a debate, a discussion to see what priorities we'd like to land on. Unfortunately, we can't push a button and generate an automated budget report line by line. So it has to be constructed manually, which was the first question I asked. So it is very, very resource intensive to go through a line by line proposition. I understand it hasn't been done for a number of years within the City of Marion's budget process. So I'm very supportive that we go through it at this point in time, in addition to trying to keep budget rate increases as reasonable and as low as possible, and also complement that through a comprehensive analysis of the budget and the services that we provide to the community. It is going to take a little bit of time, but we're looking to expedite that as quick as we possibly can.
So, Councillor Lusky, are you happy to wait till that May?
I guess I just want to know, because if, you know, like we're going for low rates and there's potential, you know, things that may impact what we deliver, I guess I'd like to know sooner rather than later.
This is a draft budget. Let's just keep that in mind, that we're putting out for public consultation. It will come back and we can make changes if we can justify those changes.
So no suggestions have been received?
Suggestions have been received. What I'm concerned about, Councillor Wiskew, is that this debate could skew off into an hour's debate on some savings of some hundreds of dollars or a few thousand dollars, which won't really affect this budget that we're, this draft budget that we're putting out. It'll get a lot of emotion going, and Mr. Harrison and his team haven't done the work to analyse the suggestions. So I honestly can't see the value of getting into something half-baked right now. And you won't even get an answer that, we could save a 0.1% or a 0.5% or nothing at all. We won't even have that answer. So throwing around a whole lot of ideas, I think, is just going to get us chasing our tails.
Yep. Okay. I'm happy to speak. Look, I think we probably will need more money. And my concern is that, that instead of, taking that courage after the savings, if there is a shortfall, instead of doing that, we may risk some services. So I like the consistency approach. I think it should be a little bit higher, but it's getting pretty close to the mark. So, having a 2 in front of it, I'm a bit more comfortable than, with a 1. But I do think we will need more money, and it's probably going to be up to the next council if this one seems to have majority of support.
All right. Now, anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Well, before we go back to Councillor Telfer, did say to Councillor Hull, give him
point of order.
I was just going to come to you, but you've got a point of order instead. All right, go ahead.
Well, the sequencing normally is speakers for and against. Now, Councillor Vlescu put his hand up to speak against.
Yes.
And then turned it into speaking for.
He was speaking against.
Well, it sounded like...
Councillor Hull, what's your point of order?
Well,
do you want an opportunity to speak in the debate or not?
Well, if your ruling is that Councillor Vlescu spoke against, I'll have to accept that, but it didn't sound like it.
I honestly am at a loss for words sometimes. I'm just about to come to you to see if you wanted to move an amendment and you want to cause a ruckus about pedantics of whether someone's speaking in favour or not. I'll give you the opportunity. There's no point of order. I'll give you the opportunity to speak to the motion, including any amendment if you wish, Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to speak against the motion. In this council term, council's had historic low rates, and I've been very proud to be a part of that. At one point we had zero rates only a couple of years ago. Now, that was all on the premise that people's capacity to pay had been compromised by events happening in the world. Here we are now with more events happening in the world. COVID's still very much out there. but we've also got a crisis happening in Europe, and the costs are going up for our people, both with fuel, the cost of living generally is going up. And the council rate is part of that. It's one of those bills that comes in through the letterbox. And I don't know why our thinking about the community's capacity to pay is suddenly evaporated. I would like to see, you know, nothing higher than 1.9 if I had my way. But 2% is just too far. The other thing is, Mr. Mayor, I'm about to actually help out with, as you suggested, with point three of the motion. I've got the motion typed out here for you, and that will free up $2 million to help if there are any shortfalls with major projects. So,
Councillor Hull, just to help you out, if you want to move that amendment, all you need to do is delete paragraph three.
Okay, well, we'll come back to paragraph three. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's the one about the 2 million. That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yep. But that's all part of my thinking. The other thing is, Councillor Gard raises a very good point, that we are in good financial shape compared to many other councils. All those years of excessive rate rises, which I was a part of, shamefully, I've had the opportunity now to actually use that buffer to good effect to help out the community with increasing rates. And we can actually draw on loans funding if we've got major projects that we really want to achieve.
You're finishing up now, Councillor Hull, just to confirm that you want to move that amendment?
Well, I'll move the amendment that I'll test the water of 1.9 going forward. Yep.
So now you have all right.
Pick up an extra vote if that.
There are two possible opportunities for amendment to a motion. Are you intending to introduce two changes to the printed motion, both as to paragraph three, the reserves, and also the rate rise? Even though when we had standing order suspended, you opted for a different amount altogether and didn't take that opportunity. You are at liberty, of course, to move an amendment, notwithstanding it's not the most efficient way for us to do business. So the question is, do you want to move one or both of those amendments at this point?
I'll stick to what the plan was, and we're talking about six. We're talking about number six at the moment, aren't we? And the remainder apart from point three.
My question to you is, do you want to delete point three and change point six, or do one or the other?
I'd like to be able to deal with everything but point three right now and come back to point three as a separate motion.
You're not going to do that. I'll come back to Ms. McKenzie in a moment, but Mr. Harrison, are you going to make a point about that? Obviously, it changes the budget considerably to do play around with that $2 million, but you, go ahead.
Through the chair, thank you. That's a lead into what I was going to ask, with your permission, for the CFO, Mr. Barnwell, to clarify. Yeah. If there is a suggestion of deleting part three of the whole of the entirety of this recommendation, I would suggest we need clarification whether that takes $2 million out of the budget as it's been proposed and will put additional pressure on year-by-year proposition, because we will arguably be $2 million of cash short for the next financial year. So I think it would be very important to get that clarification from Mr. Barnwell, please.
Yes, happy to clarify. I want to jump in there. If we do remove the $2 million, the idea of using the $2 million and freeing that up was to use all the available cash we have to keep the rates low this year. So effectively, you're supporting our ratepayers by utilising that rather than sitting in the bank.
Mr. Barnwell speaking, please.
So by freeing up that $2 million funds, putting it into the general reserve, and then using it with option recommendation five, is we're actually using, so part of that $2.432 million is the $2 million which we're using to support the budget for 22-23.
Yeah.
So, in other words, the deficits will be greater by $2 million if you take it out of the budget and put it back in the reserves, we've got deficits of $2 million accumulating across the 10 years.
The net effect would be that you'd have to borrow that $2 million while you're leaving $2 million sitting in the bank.
All right, just so everyone's clear. I think I've worked out the best procedure to try and be fair to Councillor Hull and ventilate his two separate points. They are quite distinct. Before I come back to Councillor Hull, because what we'll do, we'll test the $2 million thing and then we'll test the rate rise question. So Councillor Crossland, in fact, now what I'm going to do, we're going to test the $2 million as an amendment. I'm not going to permit the 1.9 because it's not orderly. We should test the 2.2% as a whole. It should not be worked out. The rate rise should not be worked out as a series of amendments into infinity. If the 2% fails, I'm happy to entertain another rate number and we'll test another number. So before we get to that amendment, Councillor Crossland, is that a point of order?
It's a clarification, because what Councillor Hull is saying and what he's typed on the message is exactly what point three currently says. And I think there may be a misunderstanding.
No. The wording prepared by Councillor Hull is the same as leaving the $2 million where it currently is, or where it has been in previous years. That's what he wants to do. The current budget is based around using that $2 million, effectively taking it out of the bank and plugging holes in the budget. So if we don't plug the holes in the budget with that $2 million, keep the $2 million in the bank, then we have to find that $2 million elsewhere. It's either a rate rise or it's borrowing.
Yeah.
Or it's a deficit contrary to budget policy. So,
Your Worship,
that's the clarification, isn't it?
But the way it's worded, it says that $2 million is available to support the delivery of unfunded initiatives, which is our major projects.
All right, this is the problem with bringing these things in at the last minute. It's a terrible way of doing business. Let me just read it out. That the major infrastructure failure monies held within the ASR fund be set aside as a financial contingency for any major project cost blowouts. So I suppose that's saying that it wouldn't be used for, I must admit that is different to how I was characterising it. I initially thought Councillor Hull just wanted it left as it is, but it's actually to take it out of a dedicated infrastructure failure fund, and I suppose more or less keep it just within the general asset and sustainability fund, or create a whole separate hypothecated fund. Comment, Mr. Barnwell?
Yeah, it effectively has the same effect. If you're going to take it out of the infrastructure fund and put it in the general fund and leave it sitting there, it has the same effect. We're still going to need an extra $2 million to fund the budget for 22-23. The idea was that we freed up that $2 million from the major infrastructure failure to support the budget in 22-23, which is where we're talking about those prioritized unfunded initiatives. So it's actually funding some of those initiatives through releasing the major infrastructure failure funding.
All right. Councillor Hull, can I get clarity from you? If you want to use the $2 million as per your amendment, how do you fill the gap in this year's budget? And I give you these options: to borrow $2 million more, to put up the rates, to have a $2 million budget deficit, or to cut services to the tune of $2 million. What is your preference?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I've talked about efficiencies, and they're yet to be tested. It's a work in progress. You didn't mention that.
All right, none of the above. Fair enough.
Well, and the other
okay.
one,
let's test your amendment. Let's test your amendment. The one that you printed on the screen, you certainly had an opportunity to speak to it. So is there a seconder for Councillor Hull's amendment that he has shared in writing on the chat function. Ms. Moritz?
Sorry, can I just confirm what Councillor Hull has written replaces point three?
Replaces point three.
And we're keeping point six as?
As we stated before.
2%.
2% option one.
Perfect. Thank you.
So I think everyone's clear. Is there any seconder?
Right.
Are you putting your hand up to second it?
No, I just want to,
I don't think so.
I'm certainly not going to second it. I just want to point out that if it's just left like that, an option, our recommendation five, we won't have the funds to fund $2.4 million in option five. So that will have to be removed as well.
All right, that's a consequential amendment.
Yes.
So that would simply be deleted if the amendment is to, I thought, well, the simplest way is just to delete paragraph five as part of the amendment. Ms. Moritz, you got that?
Yep.
Is there a seconder? Last call. There is no seconder. The motion lapses. Are there any further speakers to the what I can call the 2% motion who have not already spoken for or against? Councillor Gard.
Yes, Your Worship. I just wanted to make the point to address Councillor Hull's concerns, and in view of the fact that I have always been a proponent of keeping rates to a minimum, rate increases, that in real terms, the 2% would probably be one of the lowest, if not the lowest, increase that we've had, because CPI is moving forward very rapidly. And so it's the real terms that we should always be looking at. We have to manage our business in accordance with the costs associated with CPI increases. And so relativity is very important here, and the absolute numbers are less important. So we've got to factor in CPI when we look at this. I believe that 2% is very fair, particularly in view of the fact that, yes, we do have borrowing capacity, and yes, borrowing does cost us X per year to service, but it also defers capital outlay over a period of time in an intergenerational equity manner. And it's vital that it be used. It's used at all levels of government, but it's vital that it be used appropriately. And if we do that, I feel very confident that we would be safe kicking off at least with the 2%.
Very well. That was a speaker in favour. Any other speakers against? Then I go back to Councillor Telfer to close the debate.
Thank you for the contributions. I think that was a rounded and healthy debate about some aspects. We can go forward with 2%. Taking a lower rate would be risky. Taking a higher one may, as was pointed out, really hurt people as they pull themselves out of this COVID event and other events. But we also have the costs of the capital increases. And so to deal with those, we need those other resources, including from the contingency funds. So I believe that this is a reasonable way forward, and I recommend it.
Thank you. All those in favour, raise your hand, please. Just keep them up for a moment. Those against, please raise your hand. That is carried by majority. So we now have a draft budget to go out for community consultation.
A division, please, Mr. Mayor.
A division is called on the draft budget. All those in favour, please raise your hands again. They are Councillors Crossland, Gard, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Masika, Clancy and Duncan. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Those against, please raise your hands. They are Councillors Hull, Valescu and Mason. The motion is carried by majority. Okay, on to page 177. Oh, I should also say thanks, Mr. Barnwell, especially for you and your team for all the hard work to get to this point.